Man, thanks so much, Nick, just for leading us in prayer. And one other area of thanks I just want to say is thanks to Mark Benedem. He's here in the room. Though you can all kind of look over there and online, you can just kind of wonder. Anyways, but if you Mark, your message last Sunday about parenting was just absolutely fantastic, so well presented, so biblical, so practical. So if I get slow today at all, I bore you online, just go to last week. I promise it was awesome. I got to tell you, the thing that I just loved at the end is he shared a bit of a blog post of as he was anticipating walking his daughter down the aisle. And as I think about just over a week ago, I had Lauren's on my arm just holding her hand, she's so excited. Her hands are just shaking a little bit out of excitement, and there was something in my eye right at that point. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a smoke or something, but walking her down the aisle. And, although I gotta say one thing about because Mark's sermon last week was on how to avoid raising Cain. So the really practical teaching about how to apply your faith at home and things like that. And there's just one criticism I would have for you, Mark, is that it didn't work for us, not at all. So I'm kind of disappointed by that because I walked Lauren Thompson down the aisle. And she came off of my arm, and there was this wonderful, wonderful young man named Jacob, and he took her hand, and they faced one another, and they shared vows, and they exchanged rings, and then they walked back down the aisle, and now they're Lauren and Jacob Cain. So, apparently, we've been raising Cain all along, and we didn't even know. But anyway, so other than that, other than the fact that his sermon didn't work for us, it was really, really great. So I encourage you to do that. Make sure to thank him for that. So let's dive into the Word before I get myself into more trouble, because I'm feeling spunky today. I'm just having a really, really great week. I absolutely love the fact that the smoke has lifted and just celebrating an absolutely fantastic weekend. But anyways, we're going to end the book of Proverbs today. So if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 20 today. And the reason we are in Proverbs is because there are few things in life that we can do that are better for us and better for our families and better for our homes than growing in wisdom. You see, the Bible, it paints this picture of a world that just like we have a physical world and we've got the physical laws that govern the world around us, that there's also a moral world, a moral reality, and there are laws of right and wrong that govern the moral world around us. And it's sometimes a little hard for us to see it because, we're sinners and we're surrounded by sinners and we live in a sinful, broken world. But underneath all the wreckage and all the rubble, it's there. There are moral laws, moral principles. There's a moral reality that is just as real as the physical world and just as important. And just like, see, gravity, it will affect you whether you understand it or not, which is interesting because science still doesn't understand how gravity works. But guess what? It does, really dependably. And even if you don't believe in it, it's still there. Even if you try to do all the stuff and you like, this is my gravity, but that's your gravity. This is my right, and that's your right. I mean, because we do that in our world, don't we? All the time. We live in a world where we kind of view things like that. But that doesn't make it, that doesn't change the reality of the moral world around us. The same God that invented giraffes and gravity defines right and wrong. And so one of the best things we can do in our life is to start to align our lives by God's laws, by God's moral universe, and that is wisdom. Wisdom is to pursue living in light of the deeper moral laws around us, the moral laws that were put in place from the foundation of the universe by the same God that created the universe. So Growth in wisdom is incredibly, incredibly important. Now, throughout this series, I've been asking people to make three commitments. And even if you're joining here in the third week of this, we still have 6 weeks to go. Okay, three commitments. So let's put those up on the screen and talk about them a little bit. First commitment is this, is that I will seek wisdom from God. Why? Because God is the author of wisdom. So here's what I've been challenging people to do, and a whole bunch of you have been doing it. I've been watching you online. It's super cool. Okay, is that whatever day of the month it is, read that chapter in the book of Proverbs. That's why today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 20, because it's the 20th. So just to read a chapter and pay attention to what you notice there, because see, the Spirit of God loves to speak to us through the Word of God. So you see what catches your attention, spend a little bit of time with that and talk to God about it. Parents, this could be a really great plan to do as a family. Could be a great thing, teens, to do. This is totally accessible to anybody. Totally accessible. I can all but guarantee, though. Well, I mean, the Holy Spirit works all the time, so that part is completely dependable. But there's going to be something that is going. Proverbs is so stinking practical. See what catches your attention. Spend a little bit of time with that. So that's the first commitment. I will seek wisdom from God. The second commitment I've been asking us to make is this one. I will spend less time consuming and more time thinking. Because we live in a world that is flooded with data. We have absolutely zip zero shortage of information. We have more information literally at our fingertips than all of the generations before us combined. Incredible amounts of information, incredible amounts of data, but data is not wisdom. Information alone is not wisdom. So I want us to prime ourselves with the difference between information and wisdom. And so would you do something like this? Would you do this motion right here? I see your hands. Come on, this motion. What's this? Yeah, camera, come on in with me. Let's talk together. Come on. Where's that camera? Bring that camera in. There we go. Okay, this is the motion. Oh, no, bring the camera in. There we go. Here's the motion right there. That's your scrolling thumb. Some of us we got really, really developed scrolling thumbs. Our millennials, yeah, you got. But it's also it's all ages, right? We got our scrolling thumbs well developed. Now, if you're watching me online right now, maybe scroll with the other thumb. Okay, just so we can stay on the same page together. But I want us to train our hearts to remember this. When this is happening, when my thumb is doing this, I am not thinking. When my thumb is, I'm reacting, or if I'm really being honest, I'm thinking on a shallow level. Do I like this or not? Like, not like. Heart, no heart. When I'm doing this, the only thinking I'm doing is shallow thinking, not deeper thinking. Now, it's not wrong to do this. This is how many of us, you're connecting with family by doing this. That's a good thing. You're watching puppy videos. That's great. But if this is all we're doing, we're not thinking. So if you want to grow in deeper thought, if you want to grow in wisdom, doesn't mean you have to completely stop doing this, but you've got to do less of this. So this week, I'd like you to, let's keep those hands going. I'm almost done here. Hands going. Just so we can, in the back. Come on. Those hands going. When your thumb is moving, your brain's not. So you can notice that for yourself. Am I thinking deeply or am I thinking shallow? Deep or shallow? And watch it in the world around you. You'll see this all the time. Is the person or the people around me, are they thinking on a deeper level? Or is just a shallow? Let's keep that camera right up tight. Okay. Right up tight. Am I thinking deeper thoughts or just shallow thoughts? So that's the second commitment. And One other thing to say on this. I don't think I've ever done this before, but I watched a documentary this week. This is not a 100% endorsement of this, but if you have a chance to watch this, this will get you thinking. One called The Social Dilemma. It's a number of the people that invented Facebook, invented Google, invented YouTube, actually sounding the alarm for some of the unintended social consequences of social media. You may not agree with all of it. I'm not sure I agree with all of it. But it will get you thinking differently about this. Because when we do this, on the other side of the screen are trillion-dollar supercomputers that have been programmed by some of the smartest brains on the planet. And their purpose is to keep you doing this. And the longer we do this, instead of doing what we're going to be talking about today, which is thinking more deeply, well, we're never going to get to the deeper thought if we spend our entire lives in the shallow end. You're not going to get out into deep water if everything we do is an inch deep. Okay? So that's the second commitment. Here's the third one. Is I will look for wise examples around me, because God has placed people in your life. There are people in your world that are examples of wisdom. So those are the three commitments. If you're following along online, feel free to just post your 1, 2, or 3. You know, if you're going to, what are those three commitments if you're going to be there with us together, or even in the room, you know? Ask people to put up a number of fingers. Go ahead and do that. Are you in for 3? You in for 2? You're in for 1? Are we all in? The three commitments. I'm going to look to God, seek wisdom from God. I'm going to spend less time consuming, more time thinking. And thirdly, I'm going to look for the wise examples around me. So, with all of that as kind of our backdrop, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 20. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 20, verse 5. And we're going to spend a bunch of time. We're going to just kind of go deep on this one big idea, but it's an idea that is incredibly helpful, incredibly practical. So let's read it together. Actually, if you're in the room, let's read it out loud. Can you see the words on the screen okay? Kind of? All right, or you can have your Bibles out. Anyways, let's say this out loud together. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person of understanding will draw it out. Let's say that together again. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person of understanding will draw it out. So let's keep that verse on the screen, because I want to talk about advice and the importance of advice. Because here's the thing, and this is maybe going to be a little bit self-evident, but see, all of it, our lives are largely defined by the decisions that we make, right? All of us are making decisions all the time. A lot of them are small, but some of them feel really big. So whether that's the stuff that sort of feels big, like, what job should I pursue? Where should I live? Should I go to school? Where should I go to school? You think of the big purchases in life, and cars or houses or boats or rings or all sorts of things like that. What are the causes I'm going to get behind? How do I vote? Those are important big decisions. What are the relationships I'm going to pursue? What about parenting? Or even things like the medical decisions that we make. We make big decisions all the time. Lots and lots of decisions. Our lives are shaped by our decisions. Which means that getting the right advice to make those decisions ends up being incredibly important. Good advice leads to good decisions. Is that true? Good advice leads to good decisions. Better decisions lead to a better life. Is that true? That's self-evident, isn't it? So good advice leads to good decisions, and making better decisions leads to a better life for me, for the people around me, for the world around me. So being able to tap in to good advice is incredibly important, right? Nod your heads a little bit. There we go. Yes, online, you nod your heads. Good advice is a really good thing. It has tremendous benefit for me. If you want to change your life, if you want to make your life better, let's seek out good advice. So in this passage, where is good advice found? Though good advice lies where? Deep within the heart. Deep within the heart. That's where it lies. Now, I remember when I was starting in ministry in my early 20s, and one of my first big ministry mentors, a guy by the name of Al Johnson. He was in his late 60s at that point. And I still remember, like, in my early 20s, and I'm starting leading youth group and just starting to feel a sense of call into vocational ministry. And he was trying to teach me about how to do pastoral counseling. And I had some real concerns about it because at that point, I'm in my early 20s. I wasn't married, didn't have kids yet, any of those kind of things. And I'm thinking, well, how can I give anybody advice at this point? How can I help anybody in terms of pastoral counseling? And you might be thinking, yeah, that's a valid question. You haven't really experienced very much. You don't have much of a track record. But the thing that he taught me, and this is so helpful, is that when people are coming to you, Andrew, for pastoral counsel, it's not because they need to hear your good advice. It's because they need somebody to help them hear what God is already telling them. Because of common grace, because God loves all people and we're all made in the image of God, every person on the planet has a conscience. Now, sometimes that can be ignored, sometimes that can be suppressed. But for every human being alive everywhere, there's a conscience. There's some mechanism by which the Holy Spirit can speak to us. That's true certainly for Christians who have been filled by the Holy Spirit because we've invited Christ into our life and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But that's even true for somebody that's not yet a Christian. They may not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit still has channels through our conscience to speak to us. That's what Romans 1 teaches us. And so the thing that we need to be concerning ourselves with, if you're a young pastor, for example, is how do you ask good questions to help draw out what God is already saying to somebody? It's already there. Our job is to help to tease it out. It lies deep within the heart. So, with that in mind, I want us to look at some questions that can help to draw out the things that God may be speaking to us deep in the heart. So there's some parts of this that we can do by ourselves and for ourselves and with ourselves. So I'm going to kind of look at three questions that might be helpful. And if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, here's the first one of the three questions to ask. First one, what are my core motivations? And it's helpful at the end of that to say, really. What are my core motivations? Really. Because, see, all of us are motivated by things, aren't we? For some of it, like all of us, to a certain degree, we're motivated by the childhood stuff. Now, I'm a little ways on in life now, and I'm realizing increasingly how much some of those early influences still make a difference. You know, you might be 40, 50, 60 years old, even older, and some degree, we're still seeking our parents' approval. We still want to know that our parents are proud of us. You might still be competing with a sibling, right? You still want to have a little bit of one-upsmanship from whoever that other rival sibling is. That's just normal. We all have some of that stuff living in us. So we've got to be thinking about that. You know, we all have motivations to feel important, to feel successful, to look good, to feel like our lives matter. All of us want to be liked. Sometimes we want to be liked over being respected. That's something I struggle with sometimes. But we all have these motivations, those inner motivations that can distract us from the deeper callings of God. So it's important that we ask, what are my core motivations? Really. All of us experience emotions as well, don't we? And now emotions are part of who we are and they're part of how God speaks to us, but it's important to be really aware of the emotions that are being triggered by an experience or by a decision. So whether that's loneliness or fear or anger, I mean, anger is a super powerful emotion, and it's a valid emotion. Anger is the heart's natural response to injustice. So anger is a little bit like a wild stallion. It can make you fast and strong. But it's also like a wild stallion is it can get away from us really quick sometimes. So it's important to recognize what's going on in your inner life. What's going on in your inner emotional world? What are my core motivations? Really? That's a good question. But it's not just the distracting motivations. It's also important that we look to tap into the positive motivations. Because you see, if you're a follower of Christ, there is one motive that is supposed to drive us more than anything else. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? Well, you probably already do. But so we're reminded of this in Philippians. Let's take a look at chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and this is my prayer that your, what's the word?
Love.
That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So abounding love is somehow connected to our knowledge and depth of insight. That's the thing we're looking for, right? For depth. That your love may abound more and more. Love for God, love for neighbor. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So the degree to which we are motivated by love helps us to be discerning, helps us to have depth of insight so that we can discern what's best, so we can listen to the deep advice, so we can make better decisions. And with making better decisions, we make a better life. So here's the second question to ask. If you're taking notes, and I hope you do, I borrowed this one from Andy Stanley. He's smarter than me. So if you really like this one, you're like, yeah, he's so insightful. Yeah, I'm not. Okay, but here's the question. What does love require of me? Let's see that together. What does love require to me? Online, I can't hear you. Literally, I can't hear you. But let's say it together. What does love require of me? What does love require of me? What's the loving thing for me to do today? Or a variation on that is you think, you know, as you're, what would a really loving husband do today? What would a really loving wife do today? What would a really loving pastor do today? What would a really loving teacher do today? When I ask the question, you know, what's a loving husband? There's some liabilities with that because I end up doing the dishes a lot more and complaining a lot less. What would a loving husband do? What would a loving wife do? What would a loving son do? What does love require of me? It's a beautiful question for opening up the right motivations in our life and discerning the right course of action to take. And here's a variation on that. Does this thing that I'm considering, does this increase my love for God and neighbor? So maybe I'm considering a purchase. How does this purchase increase my love of God and neighbor? Maybe I'm considering a career choice. How does this increase my love of God and neighbor? Because if the answer is it doesn't, you probably shouldn't do it. Because the very purpose for your and my life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as who? Yourself. So you love yourself just like God loves you. But as we grow in love for God and we grow in love for neighbor, we're moving in the directions of God. We're moving in the directions of those deeper moral laws. They're sometimes hard to see. There's lots of wreckage and rubble around us, but they're there. They're just as real as gravity. So does this increase my love for God and neighbor? Those are questions we can ask ourselves. And those are super important. But there's also, it's also helpful to think about, you know, because remember, God has put wise people around you as well. So it's also important to do discernment together with other people. You know, and the reason we need to do this is because, see, there are parts of you that you cannot see. There's aspects of your personality that you can't see. There's strengths and weaknesses in you that you cannot see, but the people around you can. Isn't that just weird? Yeah? All right. Who here has been married for more than 5 years in their life? You know what I mean, right? See, you see things about your spouse that they don't see. They don't know. Right? You love them anyways, I hope. But there are the people around you can see things that you can't see. And so it can be incredibly helpful to ask the wise people around you what they see. And God has placed wise people around you so that we don't fall into self-deception, so that we have a perspective and knowledge outside of our own. Right? Right? So who are the people that we should be listening to? Well, we looked at this a couple weeks back, but James chapter 3, verse 13. If you're taking notes, write that down. 3:13. It tells, here's the bullet points of this. Look for people who are humble and who have lived well. Look for people who are humble and have lived well. Those are the biblical signs of wisdom. So when you find people like that, who are humble and have lived well, listen to them. Bring them into some of those decision-making processes in your life. And here's maybe a key question that you could ask that person, as hopefully you give them permission to ask about some of those deeper motivations. What do you see is really driving me in this decision? But here's a really good question to ask a wise person to ask of you. Okay? How is what I am considering consistent with my gifts, with my talents, and with my calling? I dare you to ask somebody questions like that. As you are considering, especially the big decisions in life, how is what I am considering right now, how is it consistent with my gifts? How is it consistent with my talents? How is it consistent with my calling in life? Because the wise people around you who love you, who want you to do well in life, who want you to hear good advice, they can help you with that. I'm so grateful to have some mentors in my life, some older men that are speaking into my life and I'm looking up to. And I'm grateful to have peers that and just buddies that we get to talk about those kinds of things. God has probably put those kind of wise people in your life as well, if you're open to it. And so that's where I want to land today. Just I want to give us a chance to apply some of this. So here's a question I urge you to think about. What's a decision that you're facing right now? It might feel like a big one, might feel like a small one, but what's a decision that you're facing? Whether that's a family decision, a job decision, maybe a medical, maybe it's a cause-related decision. But what's a decision that you're facing? What's a decision that you're facing? And can you ask God about what your motivations are for this? To go into some of that core motivation stuff? Or here's maybe a question that comes along with that. This is the one this is probably one of the areas where I'm growing the most in my own life. Is will you give yourself permission to take the time and to find the space that you need to think through and pray through the decisions in your life? Will you give yourself permission? Because see, if you're like me, and maybe you are in this area, I love being there for the people around me. The folks in my life, my family, my friends, my church family, I love them, and I want to be there for them. But the thing is, if I'm just available to everyone all the time, I'm available, well, to no one. Or at least most importantly, I'm living my life like this. Let's see your fingers. Let's see that thumb. You got so your muscles are so developed online. Yeah, that's right. I'm living shallow and not deep. I'm reminded that Jesus, who's fully God, fully man, hypostatic union. Props to you, Mark. That was a good big word last week. You'll look that up. You can go back to last week's sermon. You can hear about that. But fully God and fully man, that Jesus took time away to listen to God. Took time where he wasn't hanging out with the disciples. He wasn't responding to the crowds around him. He healed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And there were times where there were people who were seeking healing and Jesus went somewhere else. The hard part about giving ourselves permission to take the time to pray through and think through the deeper decisions in life, to stop the scroll and go deeper, is that sometimes it's going to feel like you're going to let some people down. You're going to need to be temporarily unavailable to a few, maybe even a bunch of people. But here's the truth, and you know this, but I want to remind you of it because I need to remind myself of this sometimes too. The very best way for you and for me to serve the people that we love the most, our families, our kids, our friends, the scope of responsibilities around you, the very best way to serve them is by you being at your very best. You living into that deeper life, tapping into the things that God has placed on your heart. You making wiser decisions is one of the most beneficial gifts you can give to the people around you. Now, is that true? Nod your heads if you think that's true. Because I want you to nod your heads for all of those times where you know you're facing a decision and you need to take some time and you know if I just got away, if I just took an extra half hour in prayer, if I just said no to this so I could say yes to something else, so I could say yes to my time with Jesus. I want you to remember this moment. And I want you, and I'm speaking, one finger is coming out, three fingers are pointing back right now. I want you to remember that it's okay to give yourself permission to take the time that you need to think and to pray through the big decisions of life. So will you do that? Will you do that? Thirdly, can you let one of those wise people in your life, can you let them in? Can you seek out the advice of the wise people around you? They're probably more available than you think. And finally, here's the most important part. Can you let God in? See, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because he gave his life for us for our sins, absolutely nothing stands between you and the Father. Absolutely nothing. And that's why in passages like James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all who ask without finding fault. Now, God could easily find fault in you. He could certainly easily find fault in me, but he doesn't. When we ask him for wisdom, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, when we ask him for wisdom, he just pours it out. He is there for you. He is closer than you think. So as we pray, as we ask God to help us make good decisions, Jesus is right there beside you in the room. Let me see your eyes. Come on. Some of you are looking down because you don't believe this all the way. Jesus is right there beside you. He is right there beside you. So ask him, ask him, ask him, ask him, ask him online. Ask him, ask him, ask him, ask him. He is closer than you think. He is closer than you think. So let's take this to prayer. Let's take this to prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? And especially as we're praying, this is not going to be probably enough time to work through the big decisions that you're facing, but this could be just exactly the right time to chart a strategy to seek God for those big decisions that you are facing. Lord, thank you that you are right there with us in the midst of the struggle. You are right there with us in the midst of the hard decisions of life. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you speak deep into our hearts. And so, Lord, help us to be people of wisdom who will stop the scroll, to take enough time away from the shallow thinking, to listen to what you are doing deep in our hearts. Thank you that you are a God who loves to guide your children, who loves to give good and wise advice, because you are a good and loving Father. Lord, thank you that you have placed people around us who can help to guide us in those ways of wisdom, who can help to draw out those inner motivations, who can help us to see things about ourselves that we cannot see on our own. And Lord, I pray even right now, as we're seeking you, that the names or faces of some of those people in our lives would just come to mind. Holy Spirit, I know you can do that. For the person sitting at home on their couch right now, Lord, just bring that person to mind, the person that they can reach out to, that can help them with that decision that they're facing. Thank you that you are right there with us through your grace, through your amazing grace, through your abundant, overwhelming love for us. You are right there with us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.